Valdik Fasha. How many Psukim are in Parshas Nitzavim?
52.
40, that's right, 40. And how many Psukim are in Parshas Vayelech next week? 30, good. And how many are in Parshas Hazino? 52, great. Friends, why are there 40 Psukim in Parshas Nitzavim? 40 Psukim, Parsha that speaks all about renewing our commitment to Hashem. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Hashem alokeichem. You're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it talks about the severity of Avodah Zarah once again, what it means to be loyal to Hashem. And then it talks about tshuva. And it talks about uvacharta b'chayim. Right? Why such a relevant parsha to read right before Rosh Hashanah? Why are there 40 psukim? Why are there 40 psukim? Right. Corresponding, tzaddikim say, corresponding to the 30 days of Elul, and the Asaras Yimei Tshuva. Why is next week's Parsha 30 days? Corresponding to the 30 days of Elul. Well, why is 40 before 30? Great question. Why is the Parsha after that Hazinu 52 days? 52 Psukim, I'm sorry. Hint? Because there are 52 days from the beginning of Elul to Hoshana Rabbah. What happens if you add up 40 plus 30 plus 52? You get 122, which is 122 days from the beginning of Elul till the real end of the tshuva process, which is Zos Chanukah. And that's why Parshas Kisavo that we read last week has how many psukim? 122, that's right. Because before you start the breakdown of the 40 and the 30 and the 52, you have to kind of see the big picture, all 122. Okay, tzaddikim talk about this. There's a lot to explain, but we're learning Ramban. Fine. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. So many famous psukim in our parsha. Let's begin with the piece on page Shin Mem Zayin, in the left-hand column, the words Va'amar Pore Rosh. Okay, the psukim describe, again, the parsha begins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is renewing his bris with you, his covenant with you. And that's true for those people who are standing here, as Asher Yeshnu Po, and that's true for those who are in Enenu Po. Because eventually you're going to settle in the land and passage of time, we have to make sure that we know what we believe. Because God forbid, says the Pasuk, there's going to be a person, God forbid, there'll be a person who settles into the land, and he gets attracted to Avodah Zarah. And Lo Aleinu, says the Pasuk, Pen yesh bachem shoresh pore rosh vela'ana. Lest there be among you a shoresh, you know what the word shoresh means, a root, that's pore, like pruravu, that's flourishing, rosh vela'ana. Rosh and la'ana are two types of bitter herbs. So God forbid there should be a root that's going to sprout all sorts of bitterness. In other words, if you have a little bit of Avodah Zarah in your heart and you don't deal with it, what's going to happen over the passage of time? It's going to grow. It's going to sprout. That's why the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah that when you uproot an Asherah tree, an Avodah Zarah tree, the Gemara says it's very critical that when you uproot it, you uproot it. You don't just chop down the tree and it's going to grow again. What do you have to do? A person who's oker Avodah Zarah, a person who uproots Avodah Zarah, Tzarech L'sharish Acharei, needs to get down to the roots. Because God forbid, there should be a shoresh, pora, rosh, velana. A root that is sprouting. Our scroll always translates as gall and wormwood. I don't really know what those are, but it means a root that is, it's a bitter root. It's a bitter root. Okay? By the way, tzaddikim point out, shoresh, pora, rosh, velana. Who sees it? Shoresh, pora, Rosh Vilana is? Shoresh Pora Rosh Vilana is Rashi Tevos. Shofar. Because the shofar comes to uproot that shtickel of Avodah Zarah in our heart. Lest there should be a little bit of something that's going to sprout and move me in the wrong direction, shofar calls to me to move in the right direction. Okay? L'chever, we'll start with a tiny Ramban on the words Va'amar Pora Rosh. You see it? On page Shin Mem Zayin. In the left-hand column. It's on Perachav Tes Pasig Yud Zayin. Page Shin Mem Zayin in your edition. V'amar Pore Rosh. You see it?
Bottom left.
I don't know how you tell me. I'm not using the same edition as you. Amar Poirosh, Lirmoz, you see? Kimishoresh Masok Lo Yetze Mar. Interesting. Because if the root is sweet, it's not going to produce something bitter. In other words, look what he writes. It's very interesting. We see something very deep. V'chol asher levavo sholem im Hashem hanichbad. If a person is wholesome with Hashem, like we spoke about last week, being complete with Hashem, v'lo hirher klal b'avodah zarah, and you don't even have a little seed, a little root of avodah zarah, if the root is sweet and pure and wholesome, if a person doesn't have any avodah zarah at his core, lo yolid modeva, he will not give birth to those who, he will not produce those who accept it. In other words, if you're really a frum Jew all the way through and through, then your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren will also be frum. So now we ask the painful question, but we all know, and those who are there at Tzlichos, Motzei Shabbos, I spoke about Tzadik in Eretz Yisrael, whose own son is off the derech, so what am I supposed to think? That he has a vodazar in his heart? Look at this line. This is a very powerful line, a big chizik for people who have a relative, a friend, a cousin, a brother, a sister, a parent, a child, who are struggling. Va'al taksha alai b'zeh min ha'kosuv. And don't ask, the Ramban says, don't challenge me from the pasuk that says, v'holid ben paritz. That it's possible for a righteous person to give birth to one who's going to reject, who's going to breach. Ki emes hadavar v'sod gadol. Because there's a deep, secretive truth to this matter. Lo ucha lefarish bo. In other words, what the Ramban is saying, if you'll ask me, how is it that sometimes you have chashuv of people whose children go off the derech? The Ramban says this is one of the great secrets of reality, and I'm not able to explain it to you right now. But you shouldn't assume maybe this guy who, I'm telling you, I know this guy, he's a big tzaddik. How could this kid be off the derech? Right? So maybe really in his heart of hearts he's a big rasha. Because the Torah promises that if the root is sweet, then it's only going to flourish something sweet. If the root is avodah zarah, it's going to produce rash and la'ana. It's going to produce bitter herbs. It's going to produce bitter fruits. Right? So if you'll ask me, how do I make sense of a person who's a righteous person, whose children, who gives birth to someone who strays? It's a secret of creation. It's not to be discussed. There's Kabbalistic undertones that the Ramban says I can't get into right now. Okay, but don't be so quick to judge the person. Ramban says, if he was such a tzaddik, his kid would be on the derech. No, sometimes it's part of a bigger picture that we don't understand. Okay, very deep idea. Okay, so the Torah warns us, make sure to uproot the avodah zarah.
The opposite is also probably true.
The opposite is probably also true, yeah. The secret of how sometimes, right, Risham give birth to lofty souls. Right? How does a rasha give birth to such a heilig tzaddik? Right? Pasuk continues, Pasuk Yudches, it'll be that when you hear all of these curses, all of the shvua, again, the swearing in of the Jewish people, committing themselves wholesomely to Torah, there could be a person who's hisbarich bilvavo lemar, shalom yali, ki beshrirish libi elech. A person might say, I'm just reading the Pasuk, a person might say, you know what, shalom yali, none of this applies to me. No, I'm not signing up for this. I'm going to go b'shrirus libi. I'm going to go in the desires of my heart. I'm going to do what I want. I'm not signing up for this. I'm not committed to this. I'm going to beat the system. I know God says he's going to punish people who don't keep the Torah, but I'm going to do what I want. Leman sifos harava es hatzmea. These are hard words to translate. Leman, Ramban's going to translate, we'll see, as thereby. Sifos means to add to. Sifos harava es hatzmeya. To add the riva to the tzmeya. Well, you know what the word tzmeya means. What's tzmeya? Thirsty. So what's riva?
Hungry.
Riva? No, not resh ayin bez. Quenched. Right? One that's like agan rava means a garden that has been well watered. In other words, it's had what to drink. So if a person says, we're just trying to get the shot of the pasuk. If a person says, "What I'm going to do what I want," so then he's going to be held accountable, Hashem is going to add the well-watered, the quenched, to the thirsty. What does that mean? What's pshat? So let's take a look. Okay? We are on page Shin Mem Ches, in the right-hand column, where it says, Uperish Laman Tzafos Harava Es Atzmeya. See it? Okay, let's assume that Rava and Tzmeya, well, let's see, let's not assume anything. Lehosif Hasveya Im HaMisave. To add the satiated, the satisfied, to the one who still desires. What does that mean? Ki nefesh sveya tikare rava. A person who's had his desire met, satisfied, he's had what to drink, rava, it's been watered. It's already had its share. That's what the word rava means. Sveya, satisfied. He quotes a couple of psukim, pasuk in Yirmiyah, pasuk in Tehillim, v'revesi nefesh hakohanim. Right? Okay, gan raveh. A gan raveh, like I said, means a well-watered garden. Okay. V'hamisave tikare tzmeya. And a person who longs for something is called thirsty. Like tzamalacha nafshi, like David HaMelech says. My nefesh is thirsting for you, Hashem. Ever listen to this mind-blowing Ramban. Ready for this? I really believe in this Ramban. I believe this to be true. And I believe it explains a lot of things in the world today. And I know we're talking about a delicate thing. I'm being merames to delicate things. Okay? So I'm not going to say things out loud, but Hamev and Yavin, feel free to disagree, either out loud, after Shir, or in your heart. But here's what the Ramban says. V'atam, and the explanation is, Ki nefesh ha'adam harava she'einenu mis'ava lidvarim harayim la. A person who feels that he's satisfied, a person who has his desires met, so he doesn't crave things that are bad for him. In other words, if you have, you know, let's say you at the end of a long day, you're really hungry. You come back to your dorm room or your apartment, right? And you're really, really hungry. And you know the sensible thing to do would go, get yourself something normal to eat. But you're just so hungry that instead you grab like a huge bag of chips and you eat the whole thing. Right? So that wasn't a good choice. And the reason you made that bad choice is because you were not satisfied. You were craving. And you satisfied that craving in a way that was not the best of ways. Normally, a nefesh ha'adam, that's rava. Let's take the Rambam, for example. The famous Rambam at the end of Hilchos Yisurei Bia. Popped in my head. I wasn't going to use this example, but it's a good example. The Rambam says, if a person wants to learn more self-control in terms of arayos, so he should fill up his mind, or in the words of the Rambam, he should fill up his heart, which probably in the Rambam means mind, but whatever, mind, heart. You should fill your heart with Torah. Because thoughts, lewd thoughts, improper thoughts, only take hold of a person who's what? Whose life is empty of substantive stuff. So if you fill up with Torah, if you fill your mind thinking about, the sugya of, Tkiya Shofar, and you're working on it, you're trying to understand it in preparation for Rosh Hashanah, so then you don't have time to aimlessly, mindlessly think about things that a Jew shouldn't think about. So says the Ramban, again, when a person is satisfied, so then he doesn't crave Devarim Ra'im La. Kasher tavo belibo ktsas hataiva, v'hu yamale ta'avaso, az Yosef benafsho taiva yaseira, v'tiatzmeya ma'od ledavar ahu sha'achol, o sha'asa yoser mebirishona. However, sometimes what happens, says the Ramban, is that a person has a little bit of a taiva. One that he knows that he could control. Again, not where he feels his desire is so overwhelming that sometimes, this is a very powerful idea, sometimes we're in a situation where we know I'm not in the clutches of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara just popped a little idea in my head. I could beat this one. I could push this one out of my head. And he satisfies that time, and he gives in to the Yetzer Hara. He's Yamali Tavaso. So you know what happens? When I give in too much to the Yetzer Hara, then even my old taiva becomes boring. And he becomes thirsty for what? For new things. Take the take the sugya of drugs. Right? So a person starts by, you know, taking some low-level drugs. Right? What people would call like a gateway drug. But over time, you know, it doesn't have the same effect. It doesn't have the same high. It doesn't satisfy the craving in the same way. So the person needs to up the ante. He starts doing more dangerous drugs. He starts satisfying that craving in a more wild way. He creates new taivas. That's what the Ramban is saying. He becomes thirsty for new things. Yoser mi barishona, even more than he originally had. In other words, by feeding the Yetzirah, he's building his Yetzirah. His Yetzirah is taking over with greater dominance. V'tisava od l'dvarim ra'im, shalo haisa misava l'mitchila. He got bored of his old Yetzirah that now he starts craving things that his baseline level Yetzirah never had a havamina to be involved with. For example, this is the Ramban's example. If a person has strong taivas for women, so when he indulges that lewd behavior, he decides that his old sexual cravings and satisfying those desires so regularly are no longer interesting for him. So now, all of a sudden, he develops a taiva for men, or even for animals, or maybe for more perverse sexual acts. V'kiyotze beze b'shar ha-taivos, and the same thing is true for any type of taiva. This is just an example. U'ke'inyan she'izkiru chachamim, as the Gemara describes so succinctly and so on target in Maseches Sukkah, masbio ra'av, mar'ivo sova. What does that mean? If you satisfy it, it becomes hungry. If you starve it, it becomes satisfied. The more you feed it, right, the more it says, feed me. And the more you deny it, the more you show that you're in control of it. The more you starve it, right, the more eventually it says, okay, this is what I can expect to be fed. I'm not going to get whatever I want whenever I want. Very, very powerful words of the Ramban. And I think it's really true. I want to add to this an amazing insight on Pirkei Avos that I saw in a volume of it's a collection of Mefarshim from the Bali Musar, from Rav Simcha Zissel, the Altar of Kelm, from Rav Yerucham Levavitz, the great Mashkiach of Mir, okay? Ma'urei Oros on HaMusar, on Pirkei Avos. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says the following. Listen to this in the second parak. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Ayin hara, v'yetzer hara, v'sinas habrios, motzienas ha'adam min ha'olam. Listen again. Three things that remove a person from the world. Ayin hara. If you spend your whole life looking at others, being jealous of others, you're going to ruin your own life. Motzienas ha'adam min ha'olam. Removes you from the world. You become disconnected from people. You become disconnected from yourself. One of the curses from this past week's parasha is what? V'hayita meshuga, v'hayisa meshuga memare einecha asher tirei. You're going to go crazy from the things that your eyes see. What's the pasha pshat, chevra? The pasha pshat is it's describing horrific tragedies, right? You're going to see, God forbid, a Holocaust. That's what's described in Parshas Kisavo. And people, you're going to literally go crazy from seeing what the Nazis yimach shvam, the atrocities. You could literally go out of your mind just by seeing the cruelty. People went crazy during the Holocaust. People who were not physically harmed, but had utter mental breakdowns and never recovered because of the horrific things that they saw. The Scalia Rebbe, Shlita, explains that what it means on a deeper level is you can also make yourself crazy from what you see. In other words, you look at your neighbor driving a nicer car than you, and you spend your whole life feeling sorry for yourself. You make yourself crazy. Stop looking at other people. You make yourself crazy by not staying in your lane, by not appreciating your life. That's this Mishnah. Ayin hara is motzien asa adam min ha'olam. What else takes a person out of the world? Sinas habrios, hating people, being intolerant of other people. It causes you to be very disconnected from the world. And the third one, it's really the second one on the list, is yetzer hara. Yetzer hara is motzien asa adam min ha'olam. asks Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, the great Mashkiach from Mir, what does that mean? The Yetzer Hara removes a person from the world? What does that mean? What does that mean? He says, no, Yetzer Hara is not talking about the Malach called the Yetzer Hara. He says, Yetzer Hara means, Klomar, Yetzira Rishona Shel Hara. Yetzer Hara means Yetziras Hara. What does Yetziras Hara mean? Not Yetzer Hara. Not when the Yetzer Hara comes to you and says, I know this is what you want. And you're like, yeah, it's true. That is what I want. But when you become bored of your old taivas, you decide to what? To create new taivas. Yetziras Hara. Yetziras Hara means creating Ra. Right? Before you did the Avera, you start creating a Yetzer Hara. V'nei soda davar hu ki bezek kvar hakol nigmar. Because once you start creating new Yetzer Haras, you start creating new taivas that you never had a taiva for. Bezek kvar munach kol hara ha'asid laholid. So then you put into motion a whole new world of struggle. Why'd you? Life wasn't hard enough. You have to make more trouble for yourself. Yetziras Hara. Motzina sa'adim in ha'olam. Life's hard enough. Yetzer Hara is hard enough. In other words, don't go looking around for other trouble. Try not to get involved with new problems. You have enough old problems. Now someone invites you to come join a new problem. No thanks. I don't need to yetziras hara. I don't need to make any more trouble. Echever, that's part of what we're saying on the Yom Doron. One of the al-chets that we say is what? Al-chet shechatanu lefanecha b'yetzer hara. Anyone understand what that means? Doesn't make any sense. That's every avera. Alchet, I'm so sorry, Hashem, that I sinned with the Yetzer Hara. That's different than every other alchet that I said. When I say alchet shechatanu lefanecha b'maychal u'mishta, with food and drink, that was not Yetzer Hara. What's this standalone phrase, alchet shechatanu lefanecha b'yetzer hara? It's this. Alchet shechatanu lefanecha, Hashem, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that, you know what? This past year, I found new problems for myself. I created new problems for myself. So that's what the Ramban is saying. That's what this pasuk is saying. A person who has an attitude of, I can do whatever I want, you know what's going to happen? Leman tzifos harava es hatzmea. He's going to add on rava to tzmea. In areas that he was satisfied, he's going to create new desires, new taivas. Ulakach, back to the Ramban. Ulakach yomer akosov baholech b'shriras libo. This person who does whatever he wants, he goes with his heart's desire, never saying no. If you never say no, then everything's going to get boring really fast. Shehu im yomali nafsho b'taivos hashriras hachazakos alav asher hitzmei alehem. If he is so quick to satisfy every desire that he is thirsting for, that he longs for, so eventually, Yosef Nafsho Harava imatzmeya. He's going to what? He's going to seek pleasure in areas where he was already satisfied. Because he's just bored. He finds new trouble for himself. Ki yis'ave v'yitzma l'masha haya saveya mimenu. He becomes thirsty for things that he's not even thirsty in. Areas that he's already satisfied in. Well, Asher, he's to be a nafshobo in areas that he's completely save. He's satisfied. He's good. He's achieved sveya. Well, the fish hiskir shoresh pora amar belashon hazeh. And again, since we introduced it by saying there's this root that's going to sprout, so continuing along that line of explanation, it uses a similar language here of Yosef shoresh. Right? It's going to add on to the shoresh. It's going to continue to sprout. And it's going to sprout all sorts of evil, new problems for yourself. B'chaver, it's a big, big yesod in Mechemes HaYetzer. The more a person gives into the Yetzer Hara, the more he's never going to be satisfied. Oev kesef lo yispa kesef. If you become a person who loves money, the money will never satisfy. And you'll say, I need more, and I need more, and I need more. You'll never enjoy a penny of it. But a person who has self-control is a person who will be able to enjoy. The more a person feels that he can set himself free, b'shriras libo eilech, shalom yeli, I'll do what I want. He thinks that's going to make him so happy, it makes him so miserable. He can't even enjoy his own desires. He has to come up with wacky, perverse ideas in order to try to feel something. He's so numb. Right? It's a very powerful yesod. self-control. Goes back to what we learned in Mor v'Shemesh on Thursday. By not giving in to the fruit, by denying the fruit, by having restraint, a person who has less is the one who has more in the end. He's able to be much happier. Yeah, Binyamin.
It says about Yaakov that he was Yerushalayim and Esau and Esau. That's
right.
I don't remember which verse, but someone said Yerushalayim and he's sitting in the tent.
That's right.
Then it means that you have the boundaries that's on the back. And Esau, that's right.
That's right. I saw this one in the Sefer.
Like borders.
So yeah. Right. Esav is Ish Sada. No borders. Yaakov has walls. Right. And Esav is an Ish Sada. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good var. And by the way, this is the Pshat in Mishnah Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah that all of us roll our eyes at when it says, a true Ben Chorin is a person who what? Who lives a life of Torah. Right? Ein lecha Ben Chorin. Choris al haluchos. The luchos were etched. Charut. They were etched. Mishnah says, Charus is Milashon Cherus. Ein lecha ben chorin, alamisha oisek b'tam Torah. When you learn Torah, then you're free. What do you mean? Why does that make me free? It's so restrictive. The answer is because when I give in to every whim and every desire, and I chase after things that I don't even desire just because I'm bored and I'm looking for trouble, so in the end, what happens? In the end, the person becomes, you know, hungrier and hungrier, and it just, the craving is never satisfied. Yeah.
I learned in regards to Yetziat Mitzrayim how there's this concept of like freedom from something and freedom
right.
to do something.
Yeah.
So we got both with Yetziat Mitzrayim. We got freedom from,
right.
which then can be very, you can put yourself back in that slavery mindset again if you don't then have like the freedom to do this.
Nachon. Nachon. During our Gemara Shir today, we'll talk maybe about freedom too. Right? Freedom from Mitzrayim, getting out of that, and also freedom to move towards Har Sinai. Yeah. That's a powerful idea, the freedom from, freedom to. Okay. However, let's go on. Let's turn to Chav Tes Chav Ches on page Shin Mem Tes in the left-hand column. Hanistara / Shem Elokeinu. Okay, the end of Perech of Tes. So I'm going to describe how there's going to be, you know, a breakdown in the future and we're going to get punished and then everyone's going to wonder, why is Hashem punishing the Jewish people? And the answer is very straightforward. Because we didn't keep our word. We took an oath. We took a promise. Atem nitzavim ayom. We stood before Hashem and we said we're in. And then when we don't live up to that, there's going to be a punishment. Now, at the end of the Perech, you might ask yourself the following kasha, which is, okay, well, part of what's happening here in Parshas Nitzavim is that the Jewish people are collectively taking responsibility for each other. Es asher yashnu po, es asher inenu po. Rasheichem, shivteichem, zikneichem, shotreichem, everyone, it's what we call Kol Yisrael, arevim zelazeh. The din of arevus, of communal responsibility. The question is, what's going to be if someone does something in private and I don't know about it? That's not fair. Why should I be punished for your averos in private? So the pasuk says, "Hanistaro slash Hashem Elokeinu." The nistar, the secrets, are for Hashem. "V'haniglos lanu ulevanenu ad olam." La'asos es kol divrei haTorah hazos. You would probably say the pasuk pshat is, right? And this is what Rashi and Ibn Ezra and others say. Right? Let's read it in the Ramban because he quotes the Mefarshim. Everyone see it? On Shin Mem Tes in the left hand column. Al das ha-mafarshim yomar, according to the mafarshim, he's referring to the Ibn Ezra, the Rashi. What's the pashut pshat? The hidden things belong to Hashem. Ki Hashem Elokeinu lo la'asos mishpat ovdei avodah zarah b'seisar. Hashem is the one who will what? Who will punish, who will take responsibility for judging those who worship avodah zarah in private. Ki kol ha-ta'alumos guluyos lefanov, because all of the secrets, all of the hidden recesses of a person's heart are known to him. But if you see something open, if you see someone openly violating a mitzvah, you see someone openly being mechal Shabbos, you hear someone speaking Lashon Hara, you see someone putting food in their mouth without a bracha, aleinu v'al b'neinu lasos lahem, it's called divrei haTorah hazos. It's our job to what? To rebuke them, to remind them, to teach them, whatever you want to call it. Or, in the context of a beis din, in the context of, you know, edus and punishments, right? Lahakos over the avodah zara kedina Torah, to punish the idol worshiper, to punish the machal Shabbos b'farhesia. Vegam kafi ha-medrash kainhu. And this is what the midrashic, by medrash here he's quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf mem gimel. This is how Chazal really learned the pasuk. Okay? Everyone got the pasuk pshat? Hanistaros la-Hashem elokeinu. Things that people do in private, that's Hashem's problem. God will deal with it. But if you see someone doing something openly wrong, so then it's our job to try to help each other. Fine. Very good. It says the Ramban, I'll tell you a different pshat. It's actually very comforting, but be careful you don't use it as an excuse. V'dayti b'derech ha-pshat, my understanding, says the Ramban, ki ha-nistaros heim ha-chatahim ha-nistar min ha-osim osam. Nistaros means things that are hidden even from the one who's doing it. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that, let's be honest, when I was born into this world, as a little baby, I didn't know any Torah. Even though in my mother's womb I learned Kol Torah Kula, but on the way out, the Malach hit me in the face and I forgot it. So I don't know anything. It's going to take some time to what? To reacquire all of that knowledge. I have to take that responsibility to reacquire that knowledge seriously. But sometimes I do averas and I don't even realize it's an avera. I don't mean to do the avera. If you would have told me, by the way, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Oh, I never knew. Thank you so much for telling me. But sometimes there are things that are even hidden from the one who's doing it. So says the Ramban, Hanistaros heim chatoim hanistar min ha'osim osam. Sins that are hidden from the perpetrator himself. You don't even realize you're doing an avera. Kemo, as David HaMelech says, Shigios miyavin ministaros nakeni. My errors, I don't even recognize, I don't even know what they are sometimes. So Hashem, please clean me, cleanse me from my nistaros. In other words, I want to do tshuva. You're going to show up on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you're going to try to do tshuva. Right? So you're going to start thinking about things you did wrong. But however, I assure us that every one of us did things wrong this past year we don't even realize are wrong. We don't realize it's us, sir. Or we hurt someone's feeling, we don't even realize that we hurt their feeling. So we asked you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the stars, Hashem Elokeinu, those averos that I did, that I don't even realize that I did, because Baruch Hu, go easy on me. Haniglos lanulvanenu, the things that I know about, I have to take responsibility for. Yomar, that is to say, hanistaros l'shem levadohim, the hidden things are for Hashem alone. Ein lanu behen avon asher chet. It should not be counted towards our sins, meaning Hashem, you deal with it. You take care of it. Since you're the only one who knows about it anyways. I don't even know that I did in the Meira. Aval haniglos, but the things that I know I did. Shehema zedonos, the averas that I did intentionally or carelessly. Lanu ulevanenu arolam, lasos es kol divrei haTorah azos chukas olam. Those are the things that we need to what? To take responsibility, to try to uphold to the best of our ability now and forever. Shekach kibalnu. Just like the pasuk said that the commitment that was being, you know, the Jewish people were committing to at the beginning of the parasha, right, is for those who are present and those who are not. So since we took a commitment for all the mitzvos, the ones I know and the ones I don't know, and we took a commitment for the people who are here and the people who are not here, but I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you got to go easy on me. It's going to take me some, sometimes I just don't know something. Hotzi min ha-cheirem, excluded from the curse, from the penalty, from the punishment, is ha-osa b'shkaga. Hashem, don't curse me for making a mistake. Shelo yiskalo ba'ala hazos. That again, the severity of this commitment that we're taking, this oath that we're swearing to, we're signing up for, the punishments that are being described for one who violates it. Hashem, please don't punish me if it's things I simply don't know. It's not that I don't want to know, I just don't know them yet. V'divrei Unkelis Matin Kein, and the words of Unkelis sound like this, because Unkelis translates the phrase, Sha'amar Dimitamran Kadam Hashem Elokana, that which is hidden before Hashem, our God. In other words, that which is hidden and is only known to Hashem. V'im K'divrei HaMafarshim, because if the Pshat was like Rashi and the Ibn Ezra, Roy lo lomar dimitamron la Hashem elokama. If it was talking about what? Hashem punishing for those averos that only Hashem knows about, because I don't know about your private averos. It should have said, hidden for Hashem. But Unkelis translates it, it's hidden before Hashem. Kadam Hashem elokama. In other words, it's hidden even from the one who did the avera. You hear the difference? There's things that are hidden from right? I've done private averos that are hidden from you. But it's not hidden from me. I know I did the avera. You guys just don't know about it. Then there are things that are hidden even from the one who's doing the act, because I don't even realize that it's wrong. So Unkelis's translation sounds, says the Ramban, more like my interpretation, the Ramban's interpretation, which is what? That it's hidden from the sinner, and it's only Kadam Hashem Elokana, only before Hashem is it even known. The sinner himself doesn't even realize he's doing the Avera. Okay? But again, be careful with this Ramban. It's not a free pass to, you know, ignorance is bliss, right? You gotta learn. You have to be open to learning. Yeah.
Then you should do.
You don't know if it's a mitzvah or an avera?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Give me an example. I thought you were asking something else.
I can give a personal example. Let's just say you're distancing yourself from someone, and they feel that distance, and there's.
And you're doing it because you feel like this person's a bad influence or a negative individual in your life. And they're offended by the fact that you're being distant. Okay?
So
maybe that's also included in Hastara slash Amokeno. Hashem, you know my intention. You know I mean well. If this turns out to have been a wrong decision, you should judge me based on my good intention. I don't know. I hear. Sometimes it is hard to know. Sometimes we think we're doing something that's positive and it's not. It's a hard question. But it could be that's included in Hanistar slash Amalokeno. Okay. However, another very famous Ramban. Perek Lamed Pasuk Vav. Page Shin Nun in the right hand column. Umal Hashem Elokecha Es Levavcha. The Pasuk describes that sometime in the future Hashem is going to bring us all back in tshuva. Even if you're distant, the Pasuk says, Im Yeh Nidacha B'Ktzei Hashamayim, even if you're at the far flung corners of the world, Hashem's going to gather you in and bring you back. And Hashem, in doing so, Pasuk Vav, Umal Hashem Elokecha es levavcha ve'es levav zarecha. Hashem is going to circumcise our heart, your heart, and the heart of your children, to love Hashem with all your heart and all your soul, so that you shall live. What does it mean that Hashem is going to circumcise your heart? It says the Ramban, Zeu Sha'amru, this is what the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Habal l'taher misayein oso. A person who comes to purify himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu assists him. Mavtichacha shetashuv elav b'chol levavcha v'hu ya'azor oscha. The Pasuk is saying, if you try hard to come back to Hashem, Hashem guarantees that He will assist you and eventually you'll be able to achieve the ultimate level of what? Loving Hashem with all of your heart. But more than that, says the Ramban, an amazing idea about the future. V'nira minaksuvim inyan zesha omar. It seems from these psukim, that which is stated, that which we've spoken about, ki bizman habria, ha'isa harishus biyada adam le'asos kirtzono tzadik o rasha. From the time of creation, what that really means is from the time that Adam Arishon first sinned, as we'll see, man has free will. We choose to do what we want. If you want to be a tzadik, the choice is yours. If you want to be a rasha, the choice is yours. This is very, very similar to the words of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva in Parakei, where the Rambam begins the fifth parak of Hilchos Tshuva by saying, Rishus l'chol adam nisuna. Rishus l'chol adam nisuna. Permission is given to every person. Permission to what? To choose. Bechira. I told you, at the very end of our parasha, second to last pasuk, uvacharta b'chaim. Choose life. What do you mean, choose life? Is anyone here choosing to breathe right now? You're focusing on it? No, choosing life means you're choosing to learn Torah right now. That's a good choice. That's part of your Bechira Chafshas. So the Ramban says, it's interesting, why does the Ramban put Bechira in the fifth chapter of Hilchos Tshuva? Why does the Ram talk about free will in Hilchos Tshuva? Because that's a critical component to doing Tshuva, to realize that what? that I'm not forced anything. When I said, no, this is the way God made me. No, it's not true. You could choose to be a tzaddik, you could choose to be a rasha. The Rambam says you could choose to be as big of a tzaddik as Moshe Rabbeinu, and you could choose to be as big of a rasha as Yeravam ben Nevat. The choice is yours. So says the Ramban, from the time of creation, going back to Gan Eden, a person, every one of us, our life is a choice. You want to be a tzaddik, be a tzaddik. You want to be a rasha, be a rasha. V'chol zman ha-Torah kein. And throughout the zman of the Torah, throughout history, it's such. K'dei she'el lehem z'chus b'b'chirasam b'tov v'onesh b'ritzosam b'ra. And free will allows for what? For reward if you make good choices, and punishment if you make bad choices. Schar and onesh, one of the fundamental principles of our belief, is tied to what? The fact that my choices are my own. I have free will to choose good or bad. And therefore I'm rewarded or punished in accordance with those choices. But says the Ramban, what is our pasuk describing in the Tzavim? It's describing the future. Aval yemos ha-Mashiach. Says the Ramban, but in the future there's going to be a circumcision of the heart. What does that mean? Tia bechira bitov lahem teva. It's going to be natural to only choose. You're not going to fight with your Yitzhar anymore. Selecting good is going to be obvious. Lo yis'av lahem halev l'masha inu roi v'lo yachbots boklal. Your heart will not desire anything that's not proper, and you will not lo yachbots boklal. You will not want it at all. A time is going to come where Hashem is going to remove the Yitzhar inside of us, circumcising the heart, removing the blockage of the heart, taking the Yitzhara out of our hearts. V'hi ha-mila ha-niskereskan. And that is the circumcision of the heart that's being described here. Ki achemda v'hataiva arla lelev. Because my good, sweet Jewish heart is sometimes what? Has an arla. Arla in the context of bris milah means a foreskin. But it means an outer layer that creates a blockage. That's what you do when you give a baby a bris milah. You're removing the outer layer, the foreskin, to uncover the mila. So chemda and taiva, desire and longing, is also a blockage of my heart being one with Hashem. Umol halev, and circumcising the heart, means shelo yachmod velo yisave, that you're not going to desire wrongful things anymore. V'yashuv ha'odam bizmanahu la'asher haya kodem cheto shel adam rishon. And you're going to be back on the madrega of adam rishon kodem achei, where choosing good was obvious. We mentioned in Shir the other week, how did Adam even do the Avera then? Adam didn't have a taiva. I was thinking this morning, I don't know if this is true. You can think about it with me. It could be that Adam didn't have a taiva, but the pasuk says explicitly that Chava did have a taiva. It could be that Adam, because Adam was created directly by Hashem, Adam was in a certain sense perfect. Chava, who came from Adam, already was a little less perfect. So Chava was the first one to maybe have taivas. She looks at the tree, pasuk says, was nechmad lamara, taiva hi le'inayim. She desired it. The only reason Adam ate from the tree is not because he had a taiva for it, because his wife told him to do it, and it's a good husband, he listened to his wife. But he didn't have the same taiva that she had for it. Adam arishon kodem achet, his teva was only to do good. V'lo hayalo birtsono davar v'hafcho. There was no sense of wanting something and its opposite. There was no confusion. I want to speak Lashon Hara, but I know I shouldn't. I want to eat this non-kosher food item because it looks good, but I know I shouldn't. That struggle is all after Chetat Marisha. That's our world. That's what he calls, in the Zman HaTorah, we all have this ability to choose. But Lassid Lava, when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to remove the Yetzirah from our heart, perfecting us like Adam Rishon Kodem Achet, and it's going to be natural for us to only choose good. On the one hand, that's a great gift. On the other hand, when you get to that point, what's lost with that circumcision of the heart? Our free will, which means what? We lose our ability to earn points, schar v'onesh. So on the one hand, yes, free will is sometimes very hard for us, because it's hard to make good choices. We're tempted sometimes to make bad choices. But we should realize, right, at least now the game is more geschmack, because when we do the right thing, we earn that schar. This is what Yirmiyahu Navi is describing in the future. Days are coming. There's going to be a new covenant. This is one of the psukim that Christian missionaries love to take and say, look, a new testament. No, that's not what it means. Lo kabris. Asher karati asavosam. Not like the covenant that I made with the avos. Kizos habris asher achros es beis Yisrael acharei hayamim ahem. Nasati es Torah si bekirbam. Right now, the Torah sometimes feels like something outside of us, and it's our job to let it into our life. But in the future, alibam echtavena. In the future, says the Navi Yirmiyah, it'll be written on your hearts. It'll be etched onto your hearts. Vizehu bitul yetzahara. This is the removal of the yetzahara in the future. Vasos halev betivo maasehu haraoi. And then the heart will naturally do what it's supposed to do. Ulakach amarod. And therefore it says further in those psukim in Yirmiyah, Vayisi lehem lelokim. Then I will truly be your God. You'll recognize it wholeheartedly. Vehema yihyu li la'am. You'll truly be my people. V'lo yilamdu od ish asre'ehu. You're not going to have to teach someone to do the right thing anymore. V'ish asachiv, and man to his brother. Lemor, saying to your friend, saying to your relative, du'u as Hashem. Right? Come and recognize God. You're not going to need to say that anymore. You know why? Ki kulam yedu osi lemiktanam va'ad gedolam. Because everyone is going to know Hashem, from small to big, it's going to be incredibly clear that there's a God. Because the nature of a person right now is that we have Yetzirah from our younger years. Chazal tell us you only get your Yetzirah Tov at your Bar Mitzvah. Your Yetzirah gets a 13-year head start to train you in bad behavior. And therefore you need to train yourself. But in the future, you're not going to need to train yourself. Yetzirah is going to be removed completely. Beautiful psukim. A new heart and a new spirit, friends. You're going to do it naturally. Because I'm going to take away whatever is holding you back. The new heart means it's going to be second nature. V'ruach l'cheifetz l'ratzon. Your desire is only going to be for good. V'zeu sh'amu Rabu Seinu, and this is what it says in the Gemara in Shabbos, v'yigiyu shanam asher tomar ein li v'hem cheifetz. Kohelet says, a time is going to come when I have no desire. It refers to the desire of the Yetzirah. Eilu yamos ha-Mashiach. She'ein v'hem lo zechus v'lo chova. When Mashiach comes, you can't get schar and you can't get onesh. Because you're going to be almost robotic in your service of Hashem. Ki b'yamei ha-Mashiach lo ye'abadim chefetz. A person's not going to have will anymore. It's going to be too obvious to choose the right thing. Aval yase b'tivo ha-maisa ha-ra'oi. It'll be your nature to do what's right. U'lefichach ein b'hem lo z'chus v'lo chova. There's no merit or demerit. Ki az'chus v'achova tluyim b'chefetz. Because schar and onesh is dependent upon desire. So on the one hand, as much as we want Mashiach desperately, we daven for it every second of every day. At the same time, we have to recognize there is a certain bracha that exists in Galus, which is we still have free will. The Yetzirah gets the better of me and makes me feel like a loser sometimes. Okay. But I also have the ability to fight and to win and to make meaningful choices. And that itself is a big bracha. Okay? Okay. Let's finish up the parsha. Next Ramban, Yud Aleph, our very next piece. It says, the pasuk says, Ki ha-mitzvah azos asher mitzavcha, asher anochi mitzavcha, the mitzvah that I'm commanding you today, lo nefleisi mimcha v'lo rechoki. This mitzvah that I'm commanding you is not distant from you. It's not impossible. Lo b'shamayim hi. It's not in the heavens. Lo me'ever l'yam. It's not on the other side of the ocean. Friends, what is the mitzvah hazos that the pasuk is describing? You say limud Torah. That seems to be what Rashi on Chumash says, it seems to be what the Gemara in Erevin says. The Ramban thinks, no. That's not the mitzvah that's being discussed here. V'tam ki a mitzvah azos, there are those who explain, right, that a mitzvah azos is a reference to kol ha-Torah kula. A Torah lifestyle, says the Pasuk, is not impossible. In fact, says the Ramban, we just learned that what? When I take away your Yetzirah, your natural state is what? Is to love doing mitzvahs. It's just your Yetzirah is getting in the way. So that means even before I take away the Yetzirah, you can still choose that, friends. However, we're allowed to choose that. We can see past the Yetzirah and say, what do you mean? It's not impossible. It's too hard to be a Yid. Too many things to do. Too much to learn. Too many expectations. It's not possible. Vashamayim, it's be'eva layam. Pasuk says, no, it's not. This mitzvah, kol haTorah kula, is accessible to you. But the Ramban thinks, v'hanachon, the more correct interpretation, ki al kol haTorah yomar, kol haMitzvah, asher anochi mitzavcha yom. Back in Perek Ches of Devarim, when the Pasuk said, all of this mitzvah that I command you today, back in Parshas Ekev, that was referring to the Torah in its entirety. However, what is the mitzvah hazos that the Ramban is describing, that the Torah is describing here? That's not too hard. Believe you can do it. Says the Ramban, it's not by chance we have this parsha right before Rosh Hashanah. Aval mitzvah hazos al ha-tshuva ha-nizkeres. The mitzvah that is being described here, go back to the beginning of the Perek, when it talks about Hashem bringing people back. Vashivosa el vavecha. Vishavta ar Hashem elokecha. Returning to Hashem. Mitzvah shiyetzave osanu lasos kein. The mitzvah of tshuva. Even though what? The pasuk sounds like Hashem is bringing us back, right? Vishav Hashem elokecha. Hashem will bring you back. If you're from the other end of the world, the pasuk says God will bring you back. Hashem will bring you back. And yet the Ramban says, it's a mitzvah for us to what? To help Hashem. To help Hashem bring ourselves back. Mitzvah shiyetzave osanu lasos kein. It's a mitzvah to allow yourself to be brought back. V'nemra b'lashon habeinoni. Lirmoz b'havtacha. It's written in somewhat neutral language. In other words, it doesn't sound exactly like a mitzvah, but it also doesn't sound not like a mitzvah. Because what? Lirmoz behavtacha, ki asid hadavar lioskein. Because even though it's something that we have to do, it's also a promise that Hashem makes us that we will do it. It straddles that fine line of free will. On the one hand, we have a job to do tshuva. At the same time, there's a guarantee. The pasuk is guaranteeing Hashem will bring you back. Our job is, don't make it hard for God. Make it easier. Start coming back. And Hashem says, I'll pick you up on the way and bring you back the rest of the way. Right? The Gemara that we quoted earlier in Masechta Shabbos. Habal l'tahir v'sayayin oso. If you help out, if you try to purify yourself, Hashem will help you to finish the job. But it's a promise. Which, by the way, answers the following question. Is there a mitzvah of tshuva? So you'll say, you just told us 30 seconds ago there's a mitzvah of tshuva. The funny thing is, when you open up the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam doesn't really seem to describe tshuva as a mitzvah. What does the Rambam say the mitzvah is?
Vidui.
The mitzvah of tshuva as defined by the Rambam is really what? The confession. Is the ashamnu bagadu, achet shechatanu lefanecha. It's the vidui, it's the confession, it's the words. Why is tshuva not the mitzvah? Why is saying, admitting to what I did wrong, why is that the mitzvah? Why doesn't the Rambam just say tshuva, more globally, the concept of tshuva is the mitzvah? So, okay, could say like that. Or you could say, like Rabbi Tzal Zsolti, one of the great Gedolei Yerushalayim writes, he says it's based on the Rambam in the seventh parak of Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Hei, which is really this Ramban. Because what does the Rambam write in Hilchos Tshuva in the seventh parak? The Torah has guaranteed that we're going to do tshuva. Where did the Torah guarantee that we're going to do tshuva? Right here, it says, Hashem is going to bring us back. We just read the words of the Ramban. Havtacha, it's a promise. Ki asid hadavar lios kein. It's a guarantee that it's going to be so. So chevra, so is tshuva really the mitzvah? Is tshuva a choice? A mitzvah means something that you have to do. It's not a choice because Hashem's guaranteeing it. Says Rabbi Tzal Zsolti, tshuva is not the mitzvah. Tshuva, Hashem says, I take achrayus for tshuva. You could be the most rebellious Jew. You know what Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin says? I love this. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin says, Tika b'shofar gadol l'cheirusenu. That when the shofar of Mashiach sounds in the world, Rav Tzadok writes, that the biggest, most rebellious Jew, who claimed, who screamed his whole life, I don't believe in a thing, this whole thing is made up, it's all stupid, I'm an atheist, I'm an agnostic, I don't believe in God, I don't even come to Yom Kippur because I think the whole thing is stupid. The Jew who mamish gave you the impression that, like, you know, nothing. He's going to hear the sound of the shofar of Mashiach, and Rav Tzadok says he's going to come running. He's going to come running. He's going to rip him open, rotza ani, he's going to come running back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im yeh nidacha b'kzei ha-shamayim, his mom is far, 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 far out. Misham yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha. Tkiya gedola, Mashiach's going to come, he's going to start crying, he's going to come running, jumping into Hashem's arms. I'm so sorry for all the times I said that I didn't believe. I really do believe Hashem. So tshuva is what? It's not really on us, it's Hashem's. It's avtacha. So therefore, what does the Rambam say the mitzvah is? The mitzvah, like David said, is what? It's vidui. Right? Don't wait for Hashem to grab you, or Rabbi Nachman to grab you by your payas and pull you out of Gehenna, you know? Right? Start the road back. Vidui. Admit. Come clean. Talk it out. Okay? So it's a promise. It's avtacha. V'atam lomar ki im yeh nidacha b'kzei ha-shamayim. Back in the Ramban. Therefore, even if you're as far, far, far away, v'ata b'yad ha-amim, tucha l'shuv al-Hashem, even if you're in the hands of the other nations, you're able to come back. V'la'asos kechol asher anochi v'tzav chayom. And to be able to achieve all of this. And of course, that's why the psukim go on and say, what b'ficha v'vavcha la'asoso. Just do the confession. Admit to what you did wrong. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I promise you, I'll be able to help you do complete tshuva all the way. Okay, last but not least, one final Ramban. Pasuk Tesvav. The parsha ends, Re'ei nasati lefanecha yom es ha-chayim, es ha-tov, es ha-mav, es ha-sara. V'charta b'chayim, we're told. And then Hashem says one last time, Hashem in Pasuk Yutes, second to last Pasuk in the parsha, Ha'idosi b'chem ha-yom es ha-shamayim ves aretz. I call as witnesses today the heaven and earth to testify to the rules of the game. Chayim v'amaves, nasati lefanecha. Habracha v'haklala. Uvacharta v'chayim, leman tichya. Choose life so that you shall live. Ata v'zarecha, you and your children. Says the Ramban, Re'ei nasati lefanecha hayom. He says, Yachzor la'aziram od. How many times do you have to tell me the same thing? How many times do you have to keep saying? Okay, and now, Jewish people, today, you know, today is your opportunity to recognize. We've been doing it. Another Re'ei. We did Parshas Re'ei already. We already did Re'ei Anochi Nosein Lefnecha Me'on Bracha Uklala. We did this whole speech already. Why are we doing it again? Yachzor lahaziram od. It's repeated again to remind us again. Lahagid lahem ki shnei hadrachim biyadam. Because sometimes you have to say it over and over again. You're not a victim of circumstance. Yeah, but my mom is... No, not your mom. Yeah, but my dad... No, not your dad. Yeah, but my older brother was a bad influence. Yeah, but if I would have, you know, the school I went to, the community I come from, the time period in which I live, the temptations of whatever, I didn't realize when I, you know, when I took the apartment, I didn't realize who the neighbors next door are, and they've been a bad influence on me. And at the end of the day, over and over and over again, the pasuk says, "Lahagi lahem kishnei drachim biyadam." The two paths before you are in your hand. And it's your choice. Don't blame anyone else if you choose to live a life of rishus. Hashem says, I don't want to hear it. You can be the best version of yourself regardless of your circumstances. You may not be able to be someone else. That's true. We spoke about that earlier. Don't go crazy. Don't be meshuga from Mare Necha Shotira. That's also in a positive way. You see a tzaddik, you say like, oh, I'll never be that, so I might as well be a rasha. Whoa, why are you comparing yourself to a shechter? That's not the bar for your success in Lima Torah. Shechter's a shechter. You are you. But you have a choice. I have a choice. I could say gittin's too hard, or I could say I want to know Maseches Gittin. I could say figuring out how we blow the shofar, whatever, you know, as long as the gabbai and the guy who's blowing it and the rabbi and the shul know it, so why do I need to know the origins of why we blow the shofar the way we blow? Or I could say, no, that's a choice. I can choose to know it. There's no blockage, not above or below. And lastly, says the Ramban, why are we calling Shemayim Va'aretz to testify once again? Didn't we already do this at the beginning of the Chumash? Didn't we do this back in Parshas Ve'eschanan? V'yoyid behemes ha-shamayim ve'sa'aretz pam shenis. We're calling on the witnesses once again. Achar sha'amar ha'idosi b'chem ha-yom ha-shamayim ve'sa'aretz ki avod tovedun maher. We already said this in Parshas Ve'eschanan in Devarim Perek Dalet. Why are we doing it again? Ki ata yomar ha'idosi b'chem ha'yom es ha'shamayim v'sa'aretz ki ha'chayim v'ha'moves nasati lefanecha she'heim ha'bracha v'ha'klala v'chi yatzticha she'tivchar b'chayim l'man tichya atavizarecha. Now that I've spelled it out, abundantly clear, we've gone over it, we reviewed it, there's no excuse not to know it. Hashem says, don't tell me you didn't teach it clearly. We sat, we chazered it over, we went over the sugya again and again and again and again. Hashem calls back Shemayim and Aretz one last time. And look at these last words. It's very geshmak for Bnei Yeshiva, we're learning Maseches Gittin this year. V'hinei hu kemachtim ha'edem b'sof dvarav kula. Hashem asks Shemayim v'aretz to kind of what? Come back and to what? Kemachtim ha'edem, like what? Like witnesses which? Which signed the document. What does it say at the bottom of the document? What does it say at the bottom of the get? Or even better, what does it say at the bottom of the ksuba? You're going to get married one day. It's going to say that I, the chasun, make all these promises to the kala. Hakol sharir v'kayam. And everything that is contained in this document is sharir, is complete and good, is absolute, is strong, right? Nu'um, signed, Yankel ben Beryl, aid. Nu'um, Chaim ben Moshe, aid. Mazel to mazel. So it says at the bottom of your ksuba, you signed the document. So Hashem calls back, Shemayim v'aretz, aid of chasim akarti. Hashem calls back, Shemayim v'aretz, Hashem calls the whole world to testify. There's no excuse you can make in the world. Hashem says, you want to blame it on things above? No. You want to blame it on things below? On the Aretz, your circumstance? No. Shemayim v'Aretz sign off that we told you exactly what you needed to do. You knew exactly what you needed to do. We're going to have a shiur on this topic maybe tomorrow. There's no chiddush. Every person in this room knows what they need to do on Rosh Hashanah. You know exactly what you need to do on Rosh Hashanah. You know what you need to do on Yom Kippur. You know what Hashem wants from you. So now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we learned it, we reviewed it, you raised your right hand, we swore you in, I promised to help you, I made a haftacha, I'm going to help you out if you're willing to try. Nu'um, signed Shemayim, Nu'um Aretz. Hey. And that's it. Moshe Rabbeinu, mic drop, you know? That's it. Moshe says, I'm done, my speech is over. I've said everything I have to say. Okay. So I, Moshe Tzvi, I've said everything that I need to say also. Okay, questions, comments, thoughts? Tell me these are mamish, these soda sticker pieces in the Ramban. Yeah.
Just the previous point.
Circumcising the heart.
Yeah. That was very similar to what we were learning in Yonah about how the neshama feels like, oh, we could just have another Gilgal.
Right.
Hashem's telling us now, like, you have a
book here
that you need to purify.
Nahon. Right. Shalom Yali, Beshrius Libyelech. And if I mess it up this time, I'll do it next time. Right. I have to do my job. And I know what I need to do. We know what we need to do.